You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of July 26th, 2016, and it's episode number 275. Good grief, where is time gone? And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Yes, 275th episode tonight. I'm excited. I can't wait. A few more months, we'll have 300. I don't know what we're going to do. Have to have some kind of party or something. I don't know. It's amazing that I've been doing this since 2008, and it's a lot of fun. I'm a little exhausted, man. This week has just been wow. I don't know about you guys, but it's hot. It's been hot everywhere, I think. And I love Florida. I don't mind the heat. It doesn't bother me. I see people complaining about it, hear people complaining about it, but it doesn't bother me. I love it. But you know what? There comes a time when enough is enough. And, you know, three showers a day, crank it up to AC. Normally I have the windows down in my car. Not lately. No windows up, AC on. It's just enough is enough. And hopefully we'll have a little bit of a break in the weather. And hopefully some, like, really good paranormal stories will start pouring out from if the weather cools off. Because it's been a little bit weird lately. There's some interesting stories, but nothing major going on in the news. But nonetheless, we have a good show for you tonight. Got a lot of great information and kind of briefly talked about it on Facebook. You might want to, as my good buddy Frank Lee always says, grab a notebook, a pen and pad, get ready to take some notes, because I'm going to throw some knowledge your way. And hopefully my goal tonight is that everybody learns something. It's usually the goal every night. Normally I try to throw a lot of good information within these stories. And yes, my stories are usually geared a little bit more towards the skeptical side, but as they should be, because it's easy to believe, but it's a lot harder to question the things that, a lot of people easily believe in. And that sometimes we just assume that are true. So that's my job, is to keep you guys not necessarily in check, but in the middle of the road here. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Tonight's show is brought to you by the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. IMHS is a premier online and distance learning university that offers high quality doctorate and doctoral PhD metaphysics degrees that will enhance your career and your life, even if your career is not in the metaphysics field. For more information on the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. And IMHS is one of the pair of the educational outlets for Paranexus Anomalous Research Association, for which I am the executive director of, in case you weren't aware. And also, in case you weren't aware, this weekend, I'm really looking forward to this for a number of reasons. First and foremost is a day off from work. It's we had our inventory today, and we have it once a year. So as you can imagine, it's a lot of work building up. Today, I only worked, 13 hours today, worked like 18. I don't know how many I worked yesterday. Just insane. I've probably worked an entire week in the last 2 or 3 days. I'm tired. I'm looking forward to this weekend. My weekend is actually a 4-day weekend. I'm excited about that. And this weekend I'll be heading to the border. As I say, Ohio, going to Pennsylvania. I live in Ohio. So I'll be in Pennsylvania again this weekend, the Kecksburg UFO Festival in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. Kicks off on Friday night, and it goes all weekend. This is an event, folks. For that area of Southwest Pennsylvania, this is it. This is the big event. It's gone on for a long time, and like I said, this weekend it kicks off Friday night, July 29th, and it's kind of late in the afternoon, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. They've got a lot of stuff going on. I'm actually going to be inside Social Hall, and that opens at 6 p.m. and through 9 p.m. there's going to be craft shows, craft sales, woodworkers, jewelry people, the Kecksburg Volunteer Fire Department is going to have their UFO store open. I'm excited about that. Got to get a shirt. There's going to be UFO investigators, UFO hunters, UFO experts, and UFO slash Bigfoot researchers. And I guess I kind of fit into that little slash area. And so I'll be on hand. Stan Gordon, John Ventry. I don't even know who else is actually even speaking there. There's no list anywhere that I can find. But it's going to be a great event. I'm not speaking that weekend, but I'm hanging out. Going to be selling some books and enjoying the festivities. It's long overdue that I finally make it out to this place. 51 years since this event took place. I don't know how many years this event has gone on, but it's gone on for quite a while. And always have wanted to get there to this event. They're going to have live music all weekend long. DJ Powerbomb will be there Friday night. And lots of food. Wood carvers, blacksmiths, games. They're going to actually have a cornhole tournament at 7 p.m. on Friday. I don't know. I don't have a team. So maybe if I find somebody that I think will do well, maybe we'll join up and go for the cup, whatever they have. I don't know what you win for a cornhole tournament, but it sounds like fun nonetheless. It's a $10 entry fee per team, and you can sign up at 6 o'clock. Hint, hint. Meet me at the staff booth, and we'll win some stuff. But that's just Friday night. Now, Saturday, there's a parade. Yes, a parade, a UFO parade. UFO costumes, floats, UFO-themed floats. That's going to be really exciting. And hopefully it's not going to be too hot for that. But still, you can go inside Social Hall from 12 o'clock noon, high noon, to 9 p.m. and visit all of us that'll be in there. If I'm not at the parade, they have a bed race at 4 o'clock. Never seen a bed race. I've actually participated in a bathtub race once. I built a bathtub. I put some wheels on it, and we didn't do so hot, but it was still a lot of fun to do that. Not going to partake in the bed race. But this one sounds exciting, too. At 6 o'clock, there's Smoke in the Valley. It's a burnout contest. And I don't think it's burnouts like what you're thinking of, like high school stuff. Well, probably dating myself with that comment. But I guess it's cars doing burnouts. I'm not going to do that either. Then they're going to have a live band and then fireworks at 10 o'clock at night. So Saturday, an interesting day of festivities just to get you out there and enjoy everything. But the big day is Sunday. Sunday is when the UFO conference takes place. It starts at 1 o'clock at the EMS building. All this stuff is real close. It's not a huge town, but it's a big event. Parking is, from what I've heard, is going to be very limited. So you want to get there early. I'm camping out pretty close to the event, so I'll be camping out all weekend, which is always fun to do. And one thing that I do think I may participate in on Sunday is the UFO hot dog eating competition at 12:30. Oh yeah, I might skip dinner the night before and definitely breakfast. And I might try to win that one. I know a couple of secrets to eating handfuls of hot dogs. So we'll see. I'll size up the competition that morning and see. Maybe I'll take home that championship. Maybe I'll win a t-shirt. I don't know. But again, the UFO conference takes place on Sunday, July 31st. And the 51st anniversary of the Kecksburg UFO incident. And the event is free all weekend long. It's free. They are selling food and all this and that. And a lot of vendors are going to be on hand. You can buy a lot of nice goods there as well. But the Kecksburg EMS will gladly accept any type of donation at the door. So this is a nice way to donate to the to this area, kind of outside the Pittsburgh area. And this is going to be a huge event. Again, I wish I knew who was speaking. I wish I had a list. But it's going to be fun. Tractor pulls. Of course, this is this is out in the hills, out in the country here. Tractor pulls, 3 o'clock. Looking forward to that. That's not like tractor pulls where they're going to be competing for stuff. Just, you know, the kids. You put the kids in the tractor and you drive them around. I'm a big kid, but it looks like the cutoff is 10 years old. I don't know. Maybe I'll try to get in line. We'll see. But anyway, looking forward to this event this weekend. So come on out and see me. I'll be out there all weekend long, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But Sunday is the big event. I know a lot of people that I know are going to be coming up on Sunday for the speakers, which is going to be exciting as well. Again, free to the public. So from where I live here in Northeast Ohio, it's about 2 hours, give or take. And then about a month from now, I'll be going back to Pennsylvania. What is it with me in Pennsylvania? I don't know. The Strange Encounters of Pennsylvania, the fourth annual Strange Encounters of Pennsylvania event, August 20th in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. John Ventry and Stan Gordon will also be speaking at that event, and I'll be actually speaking at that event as well. And a lot of local people. I'm like the outsider from Ohio, but it's still going to be a lot of fun to just talk about strange stuff. Don't have to worry about being really super specific about paranormal stuff, but just talk about some of the weird things that that happen in the field and that relate to what we do. Going to have a new presentation for that. I'm just kind of whipping up something new and exciting and entertaining and educational all at the same time. And on my calendar after that, I'll be going back to Pennsylvania again in November. And hopefully we'll be speaking at the third Ghost Excavation Conference. I've actually spoken at the first two events. The first one was in Maryland, and the second one was in Pennsylvania. This one will also, again, be in Bedford, Pennsylvania. And this is more of a serious conference. This is people that are doing things that are way outside the grain. This has a lot to do with the E4 method of client-based paranormal investigation that I created back in late 2011, early 2012, and have tried to mold a new methodology. And I'll talk more about that as we get towards that event, what the E4 method is. I've talked about it on a number of paranormal shows and things like that, but it takes quite a while to explain it and why I came up with it, with the reasoning behind it. And I think if I ever get another week that's a little slow, maybe I'll just talk about that for a little while, just to kind of outline the E4 method and what it's all about. But that event is going to be very unique with the speakers that are going to be there. Again, that's not till November, so I'm not going to get too caught up in that. Last but not least, I got to mention the paranormal poll, where I'm throwing out a subject and allowing you, the listener, to have a voice about the show and to vote on these topics. Right now, I only have one topic on there. It's is paranormal unity possible? And I've had it up there, gosh, well over a month now, and it's been the only one I've had. I really haven't advertised it too much. I haven't pushed it. It's just kind of there. It's kind of there, hanging out in cyberspace. Not a lot of votes on it. But it looks like it's still positive. People are voting yes, that it is possible. Not overwhelming, not the absolutely, because there's four answers. Yes, absolutely, possibly, probably not, and absolutely not. 16%, are, well, 17%, we'll round it up, are at the yes, absolutely. And the 83% is at possibly. So it looks pretty positive on that, and that's good to see. It's good to hear that people aren't negative about paranormal unity. I have my thoughts, and I'm not sure if it would be possible. I kind of would be hovering a little bit closer to probably not, but not heavily, and certainly not towards absolutely not, because I think there is some things that we can do to be a little bit more positive about our field and kind of bring people together in certain ways, not all together, everybody all together. On the crazy train, of belief about certain things, but I think we can focus our thoughts and move in a more positive direction than what this field has been. Now, the paranormal poll, hopefully soon, start exploring some other questions that will hopefully stir the pot out there. I mean, the reasoning behind this is just to get people thinking differently and looking at some of these questions and some of these topics, which are controversial and on purpose. I mean, we have to think about our beliefs in this field. In order to move forward, we'd have to challenge what we think and look at the different aspects beyond what we believe, because I don't know everything, and I don't think anybody else in the paranormal knows everything either. So the only way to do this is to challenge our thoughts, challenge our beliefs, and question these things and comment on them and learn from others who also comment on these things as well. So not only can you vote on the paranormal poll, but you can also leave comments, and that will help shape how we think about these. It's kind of a different take on just a Facebook post or a poll on Twitter or just a poll in general or just a message board post where everyone throws mud at each other. This is just an even way for everybody to vote on these things. We'll talk different topics. Eventually, I'll get around to posting different ones. I'll throw a whole bunch of them up there. We'll talk about topics like, are hoaxes bad for the paranormal? Maybe we'll talk about photographic orbs. And where do you stand on paranormal certification? And a whole lot more. A lot of different topics we'll get into as time allows, I guess. And we'll see where the paranormal poll goes, if I continue to do it or pull the plug. We'll see. Now onto the news. Cryptid news this week. Some really interesting news, which is weird. And the stories and the way that I'm going to talk about them are the way that I found out about some of the stuff that was going on. It was interesting because I was doing a certain story, and then lo and behold, another story that dealt with a similar topic popped up a couple of days later, and they all tied into each other. And I thought it was kind of neat. And it all takes place across the pond in the United Kingdom. And this first story is from the Bolton News out of the United Kingdom, and it leads off the news this week. The Radcliffe Division of the Greater Manchester Police responded to a call where a man stated he saw a black panther chasing a deer. Yeah, big black cat. Well, your first thought might be a deer in the UK. Now, sometimes I think people, just because they don't have a lot of large animals, may assume that they don't have any deer. But yep, the United Kingdom actually has 6 species of deer that roam free. Of these, only the red deer and roe deer are native to the area. Now, fallow deer once lived here but died out after the last ice age and have been reintroduced twice and now exist in numbers. And the other 3 species have escaped from captivity or were purposely released, most often for the purpose of hunting. Now, as far as the black panther is concerned, it is an animal that many lovers of cryptozoology cut as a unique species of creature that roams mysteriously around the world. I mean, plenty of books have been written on the black panthers or black cats, and it's just, I don't know, I don't know, like a romantic tale of cryptozoology. It's just that animal that a lot of people gravitate towards. I'm a little skeptical on them personally, and these stories kind of explain that, those feelings. Because when we look at black panthers, you know, a black panther by definition is essentially any melanistic species of any of the Panthera species, which I've talked about this a number of times here on the Paranormal News Insider, which include leopards in Asia and Africa and jaguars in North and South America. And this also includes many subspecies as well. These black panthers are not pure black, because if you look at them closely, you'll actually see their normal markings that are just basically hidden by the melanin that is present in excess, creates the black fur, if you will. And as far as the cougar is concerned, they have never actually appeared melanistic in the wild or even in captivity. And most sightings of purported Black Panthers in the United States are probably from the angle of viewing where the cat appears to be darker than it actually is. And this happens essentially if the cat is between you and the sun or bright light, and if you're looking up toward it, the cat will actually appear darker than the normal tawny color that they do appear. And as far as our UK cat is concerned, it would have to be just like many of the cats that have turned up since 1903, that it's probably just an escaped or released exotic pet. And many large cats have turned up over the years. They've been actually found either hunted or hit by cars or just died. And this is especially after the Dangerous Wild Animals Act of 1976 was enacted in late July of 1976 to keep people from owning these dangerous animals as pets, because it wasn't out of the ordinary to see a Bengal tiger walking the streets of London in the 1960s and 70s, as it was actually a trend of the times. I can't remember the name of that movie about that lion that everybody loved, this lion that was roaming around. There was that YouTube video going around a couple of years ago. I can't remember the name of him. But anyway, yeah, he was walking around England, walking around the streets till he got a little bit too big, and they had to give him away. Now, after this law was enacted, it's thought that many wild animals were intentionally released into the countryside by those who could no longer tend to them for a variety of reasons. And they didn't think anything was wrong with that. Just releasing them into the countryside. Hey, come on, it's England. It's wild. It's Europe. They can roam free and not hurt anybody, right? Well, not really. But they're known as alien big cats, or ABCs, and are what researchers and hopefuls describe these creatures that are reported, but are not supposed to exist there. And now they've become cryptid legends. As far as the Radcliffe cat is concerned, it might be one of these exotic melanistic cats, or it could just be a large feral cat, which are known as wild cats that essentially roam much of the United Kingdom unchecked, since there are no large predators to keep them in check. And these wild cats will grow fairly big. I mean, not huge, not like lions and tigers and stuff, but probably the size of just smaller than a bobcat, which is still pretty big when you're viewing it from a distance. Now, in our Radcliffe incident, police did respond and they searched the area, but unfortunately found no evidence of any kind of cat, let alone a black cat. Whether that's good luck or not, I don't know, but interesting story there about potential black cats. And pumas, panthers, catamount, cougars, pumas, panthers, catamount. There's a whole bunch of names. It's essentially the same cat. When you use the word panther is just a blanket term to describe these creatures. Now, in a related story, this kind of has a lot to do with the one we just mentioned, is probably one of the biggest stories of the week, if not the biggest story of the week. And they kind of come across as this solves this big mystery, but I don't think it completely solves this mystery. It provides a very sound explanation. And again, it's a related story to the first one that I just talked about. And there's now verification of information that may solve a few of the legendary sightings of stories of large cats in England, including the Beast of Bodwin Moor and the Beast of Dartmoor. And the story starts out with a missing lynx named Flavio that escaped from the Dartmoor Zoo earlier this month. A comment by Benjamin Mee, the owner of the zoo, explained that this type of disappearance was not a first. In the late 1970s, Mary Chipperfield was forced to close down her Plymouth Zoo, where exotic animals were kept and some that were used in her zoo acts. Actually, she was in the circus, had her own little circus. So there were in her circus acts. In 1978, she was transporting 5 mountain lions when her vehicle purportedly broke down. Now, later, when she arrived at the Dartmoor Wildlife Park, where she had agreed to turn her mountain lions over, there were only 2 cats in the cage, yet 5 tags. So it was surmised that Mary let a breeding pair of young males loose into the countryside, as well as a younger male, to avoid them being kept in further captivity. Now, while this story does sound like it could rationalize many of the sightings of alien big cats, Mary's husband states that this isn't true. Mary died back, I believe, in 2014, but her husband, who now lives, lives in Spain now, he stated, quote, "We had no dealings with the old Dartmoor Wildlife Park all those years ago, and certainly never released pumas or any other wild animals on Dartmoor. However, I hope Flavio is eventually found and captured safely," unquote. It was also stated in the story that it was not illegal to release these exotic animals into the wild until 1981. So it seems there was a period between 1976 and 1981 where many of these animals were more than likely set loose into the English countryside. But how many, if any, still roam? It's an interesting story because it does shed a little bit of light on the possibility that there are definitely escaped exotic animals still out there. You're talking late 70s, early 80s. So it's been a time. That's a long time, actually, for these creatures to exist and go unchecked or unnoticed or undocumented. And it would take a lot of breeding pairs for this to kind of spill out into the streets. But I don't know. I think it's definitely a possibility. But again, you would have to have a decent amount of these creatures to have breeding amounts for all of these sightings to be known. And I've reported here on the show a few times this year of sightings in this particular area and all over England of large cats. So there's got to be something to this story explaining this. But I don't think that this particular story explains all of them. I think there are other animals that have been released that may potentially help explain all of this stuff as well. So just so you are aware, you're listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVradio.com. And again, you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons, and welcome to the show. And we're already halfway through it. Covered our cryptid news for the week. And like I said, it's kind of a slow news week. Interesting stuff, though. And I'm going to teach you a little bit of stuff here in the second half. A little bit of research I've done on a story that I wasn't even going to talk about it, but it just kind of got under my skin a little bit because I remember some older stories that I've tied into this article here that I've kind of mapped out for you guys and teaches a little bit of history behind it. And I think I can tie it all up, this latest story that's going on and some current events as well. But first, if you're listening to the show live, thank you. I appreciate that. And obviously, if you're not listening to it live, you're listening to this as a podcast, which I also appreciate. And I don't know where you're listening to the show. If you're listening through Podbean or Mixcloud, that's awesome. The show is, I've just realized, is available through Mixcloud in a variety of ways. It's come through my putting the show on through Podbean, but it's also put on from my producer and from the network, WCJV, through their channel on Mixcloud. So if you got Mixcloud, you got it made. You can listen to my show pumped directly to you, or you can listen to all of the shows here on WCJV, which is a lot of great paranormal programming. And I'm very proud to be a part of this network with so many great shows and such a diverse angle towards the paranormal. We all have different beliefs, but we're all going the same direction, which is really good and a very positive thing for the paranormal. But this show is also available through Stitcher, Spreaker, iTunes, Pocket Casts, all kinds of podcasting stuff. So just look around. If you have one that's your favorite, one that you like to listen to, iHeartRadio, we're even on iHeartRadio. I'm really excited about that one as well. If you've listened to the show, I've talked about that a couple of times, how excited I am about iHeartRadio. So that's cool. And like I said, a lot of different ways. We all have our favorite shows we like to listen to. Hopefully this is one of your favorite shows. Maybe, please. I don't know. But anyway, hopefully it's also allowed you to listen to other shows that you enjoy as well. Now to ghost news. A big story today just broke. I don't know how long ago, but a little shocked about this, but I don't know how shocked you can be about certain people, not to be mean, can't speak ill of the dead, but Yori Harris, better known to the world as Miss Cleo, has passed away at 53 years old. Now, if you don't remember Miss Cleo, she was a self-proclaimed shaman and psychic and the face of the commercials and infomercials for the Psychic Readers Network. That was a 900 number phone service back in the late 1990s. And if you don't know what a, you know, I know a lot of younger people, they probably don't know what a 900 number phone service is. Yes, people would actually use their phones, and this is before cell phones, people. Well, maybe some people had car phones. I don't know. Giant bricks. Now, people would use their phones to call these 1-900 numbers for certain, well, services, I guess, for money. And this was a big business back then. This was a big thing. And these commercials, they drove you nuts. And she was funny to listen to, but I always knew she was fake. I knew it. Now, her Jamaican accent made her a believable character, and especially when she asked you to call me now, until word got out that she was actually from Los Angeles. And she wasn't psychic either, more than likely. It's kind of a big disappointment because, you know, that charade lasted for years. And her picture was everywhere, magazines. She was on, like, all these popular shows, the daytime drama shows. She would appear in character. All these commercials, infomercials late at night. You couldn't avoid Miss Cleo. Now, she actually, something you may not know, she went on to do voice work for the video game Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Yeah, Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Never played that one. I did play the first one. Wasn't all impressed. Anyway, Harris, or Miss Cleo, actually died earlier today in Palm Beach County, Florida, due to complications of colon cancer, which had spread throughout her body. Now, the Psychic Readers Network operated from 1997 until 2003, when the Federal Trade Commission charged the company with deceptive advertising, billing, and collection practices. The reading, now if you called the number, which was advertised, and you know, they always did these infomercials where she was talking to somebody and helping them and you know, a nice little conversation. But yes, they advertised free readings. The reading was free. But the phone call, the actual method of talking to somebody, would cost you $4.99 a minute. So it's kind of deceptive in that aspect. Yes, the reading is free, but it's going to cost you $4.99 a minute to call. So was it really free? No, I don't think it was free. And they did their best to keep you on the phone for as long as possible, as well as to get you to call back. You know, I've talked about stories here on the Paranormal News Story, the News Insider, about a lot of these stories that have people losing a lot of money. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we always think, how silly can you be? But it's happened to a lot of people. And it's just, it's a business. And they're just as any business is, it makes money by pulling the right people to fall for these things. And you know, sometimes people are just vulnerable enough to fall through that. Now, they did go to court in 2002, and in 2003, it basically broke this company up. Now, through the court battle, it was discovered that Miss Cleo's name was Yuri Del Harris, and that she was a natural-born U.S. citizen from parents born in Florida and Texas. And rumor has it she's never actually even been to Jamaica. Wow. During the trial against the PRN, actors from Seattle that had worked in plays produced by Harris stated that she played a character with a Jamaican accent named Cleo. The actors knew her as Ree Paris or Yoree Paris and also remembered that they never got paid. As Paris explained to them that she was suffering from bone cancer and needed the money to pay medical bills. Now, that's eerie to hear because at the time, this was not true as she was merely fleeing the area to head to Florida, where her next scam was getting lined up. Now, Cleo also went by many other names, such as LaShonda Williams, Corvette Mama. I love that name, Corvette Mama. That's pretty cool. Eleanor St. Julian, Desiree Cantorlaw, Janet Snyder, Maria Del Campo, Christina Garcia, and Cleo Millie Harris. So again, sadly, Miss Cleo has passed away at age 53, but leaves behind a weird legacy of those awesome commercials that are all taped off of VHS tapes. They all have those little lines running through them. It's kind of crazy. That's just how things were back in those times. But another legend, another TV legend gone in the ways of like Clara Peller from those Wendy's commercials. But yep, that's all I got to say, I guess. And yeah, so I'm going to talk a little bit of history here, a little bit of has to do with this story. There was a headline of a paranormal story that caught my attention earlier this week. And before I even clicked on the video, there was a video involved with this. I did something that you should never do. I already had an explanation in mind. I thought of this is going to be this. I already knew it before I clicked on it. Should never be that way, but I've seen so many of these things. I just had that knee-jerk reaction. Share the story in the chat room, I guess, before I get too far away. And this is the headline itself wrote was scary CCTV footage captures ghost child wandering up and down street, unquote. So never mind the sensationalism of the word scary. I mean, is little ghost child really that scary? Well, I don't know. It's not like he runs up to the screen and screams at the right in front of the camera or something to make you jump at the last second. Or the description of the wandering ghost, or even that they have made this definitively a ghost without thought. Now, this is kind of tied into how I think and my experiences is that what many people may not realize is that for every ghost video that's out there, everyone that pops up that's supposedly new or different, or even if it's a UFO or cryptid video, there's already been more like it before. And obviously, that may sound obvious, but what I mean is that for every hoax or video that has a logical explanation, there's already been an example out there floating around the internet somewhere. And like I've mentioned before, I was a part of the Paranexus Anomalous Evidence Advisory Board, and we got to look at dozens of videos, dozens of photographs, listen to a lot of EVP and a lot of various audio that people collected and weren't sure what it was. And some people, I think, try to trick us with stuff. And I wasn't the most knowledgeable person of that group, but I certainly learned a lot from a lot of other people. And we shared a lot of videos. We shared a lot of information that we'd collected over the years and some examples from the internet that had a something that was known about them, the end piece, if you will, about how they were determined to be or what they were actually to be. So we learned a lot from experience and from sharing knowledge and information. Now, back in September of 2002, there was a video about a ghost moving around in a junkyard in Oklahoma that became a huge viral sensation, The ghost is now known as Puckett's Ghost from the name of the junkyard. And this made many people believe that there was a ghost captured on video. But just like any story today, there's two camps. On one side, you got those that believe it. They see this ghost. They believe that it's this ghost. They rationalize different things about it. And they swear up and down, this is a ghost. And of course, on the other side, you have those that are skeptical that say that this is a hoax or it's fraudulent. Or these people had to make it up. Well, that's not always the case. There may be a logical explanation. It doesn't mean that people are trying to be fraudulent about it. But for me, what I remember watching this video, and back in that time, I actually knew the group that actually investigated this case. So I was kind of a little bit on the, I don't want to say the inner sanctum of this, but I had a little bit of inside knowledge about it when it happened. I had a lot of friends in Oklahoma, a lot of groups that I knew, and actually went out there for a convention around that time as well, and did an investigation out in Oklahoma. But for me, when I saw this, something just didn't look right. It just didn't feel right when you're looking at this. The scale, the movement, the actual ghost itself did not look right. And the backstory about the people who had died in car accidents sounded a little bit too convenient. And, I'm going to take this. I have the video. It's actually a news story, I believe. So it's not the actual, just the video. There's a lot more to this. But it shows you an example of what this thing looked like. And it's obviously it's 2002, so it's a little bit older. But this video, to me, it's kind of cheesy. But it's become one of the most controversial pieces a video on ghosts taken to date, believe it or not. And the footage is still highly debated among groups, especially in Oklahoma. And skeptics are very strong about this, and a lot of believers are very strong as well. Now, a local group, like I mentioned, investigated the site and the video and claimed that it was legitimate. They got to know the Puckett's, and they're good people, which I get that. You know, sometimes don't think that they did it for a lot of people initially thought that they did it for attention. They did it to drum up business. But you know, when you're in a wrecking industry, you're in a junkyard. You're just kind of a business of need. It's not just to get new clients and stuff. I mean, it's a junkyard. But another group, the Rocky Mountain Paranormal Society, which I believe they're still around. They've been around a long time investigation and research group, also obtained a copy of the video and did their own work. Now, one of the theories about how the video was potentially made is now the leading explanation. And despite many claims that the Puckett's would never fake their videos, this kind of fits in with this method of creation. And it could have been done without their knowledge. Now, this goes all the way back. Way back in the mid 17th century. Sounds crazy, right? Where am I going with this? Well, a method of using a lantern to show images on objects was used in forms of live theater, and it was called phantasmagoria. Phantasmagoria. In 1862, Henry Dirks came up with a new version of phantasmagoria called Dirksian phantasmagoria, where it would be possible to have a ghost appear up on stage. However, theaters would have to go through a massive rebuilding in order for this to work, which essentially made his idea completely inconceivable. No one was going to waste the time and money for little stage theatrics. Now, along came a guy named John Henry Pepper, who helped Dirks perfect this illusion in a very simplistic way that would allow theaters to use it without rebuilding much in the way of anything. Now, despite this being Henry Dirks' idea, the projectable imagery would instantly be known as Pepper's Ghost. Examples of Pepper's Ghost still live on today, with the most famous example being the haunted manor and Phantom Manor attractions of the Walt Disney World Resorts, or Walt Disney Resorts, I guess. I remember the first time I saw this. I think I was a teenager, and I was impressed. But I couldn't initially figure out how it was made. And it seemed like it was easy to figure out, but it took a little time until you kind of looked around and you kind of got an idea of how this was done. Now, the basic method of projection was also used to create the image of Tupac Shakur, who appeared on stage with Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg at the 2012 Coachella Music and Arts Festival, as well as Michael Jackson at the Billboard Music Awards in 2014, 5 years after his death. And just this month, the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, now features a locker room-themed auditorium that will feature a holographic Joe Namath. It looks creepy. It's based on the kind of images projected into a glass object that acts as a mirror, but it's clear, and it makes a ghost appear in another area. I think you've probably seen that on Scooby-Doo. And a lot of movies have also used Pepper's ghost in various themes to make these things appear. And another overlooked method of Pepper's ghost is the use of a teleprompter where the words are flashed onto a screen that seems to project in midair in front of the speaker. Pepper's ghost is thought to be the explanation of Puckett's ghost of 2002, and I'm very confident that this will also explain this latest wandering ghost image. But the big question is, was it intentional? Now, really, maybe or maybe not. It's still more likely that a ghost sticking in one spot is not likely on this recording. It does explain this very well, and you can do this without the owner of the closed circuit camera really having any idea of what's going on with that. So that's your little bit of science knowledge for the week. Pepper's ghost. Good stuff. So I did have one ghost, another ghost story thing. It's nothing really major. It's not actually a story. It's something I wrote up. Not going to have time for that, but we'll talk about that later, because what I have here is the book of the week. It's a very good book of the week. I know I talked about this guy not that far back, well, probably a couple months ago, but I was excited to read this book. It's actually a very short book, and it's written by Stan Gordon. And I've got to talk about Stan Gordon because, well, I just talked to him last night, but I'm going to be seeing him this weekend. He's going to be speaking at this event, the Kecksburg UFO Festival. Now, the Kecksburg UFO Festival is where Stan Gordon was inspired to become a UFO researcher. He was, I believe, 10 years old at the time when this happened. And it changed his thoughts about the strange, about the paranormal, about the odd and all this and that. And he's been doing this. He's been researching and investigating the paranormal longer than I've been alive. So that's a huge inspiration. He's a great researcher, awesome public speaker. And he's very knowledgeable and very, very open to new researchers. And he's trying to do the right thing. And he's trying to talk to many people and pass on his legacy to newcomers and up-and-comers. And he's been very good to me over the years and helped get me out to the event and helped get me a table here and kind of helped me out with another event, the Strange event next month. So he's a great guy, and he's recognizes other good researchers and investigators, and, you know, he's helping us out. And this latest book, and the other book I talked about earlier a few months ago was Silent Invasion. It's a very thick book, a lot of information, and it deals with cases of UFOs and Bigfoot together a number of years ago in the 70s. There was a weird flap of events, and it was almost a day-by-day account of these cases, and it was just mind-numbing of how all of this stuff transpired and all the information that he gathered and how great of he documented everything and brought it to the general public. And this book here that I'm going to talk about, the book of the week this week, is kind of a continuation of that. Now, it's not really cases that are continuous. It's more or less just kind of scattered cases throughout time. But this book of the week is Astonishing Encounters, Pennsylvania's, Pennsylvania's Unknown Creatures. It's Casebook 3. And it, like I said, it just kind of picks up where the other book left off. Wow, that is huge. Big book cover there in the chat room. Probably a little bit too big. Sorry about that. But this book, it's not really huge. Strange Encounter, or Silent Invasion, I should say, was huge. It was very thick, and it did take quite a bit of time to read through. This book here is only 144 pages, and it read very fast. And still, it was a ton of great information in this book. And this book was just published last year, and it only has a handful of chapters, just six chapters. But it does talk about Bigfoot, Thunderbirds, water monsters, and of course, Black Panthers. Also talks about other bizarre creature encounters, and also dives into aliens and floating entities. And also Bigfoot encounters continue with, you know, just kind of picks up where the other stuff left off. Now, this does pick up where Silent Invasion leaves off in the 1980s, and does a great job of continuing his work and the documenting that he's done. Now, back in 1993, Stan essentially stepped away from his group and all the teams that he was a part of, and became an independent researcher, which is essentially something I did about 5 years ago, and couldn't be happier, to be honest with you. It is fun to work with a group, but it can also be a massive headache. So I get where he's coming from, and he's continued to get a lot of great reports. And this book is goes right up to current times with some of his great stuff. And there's some really, really interesting cases here that just seem amazing, but they've happened. He's documented them. Whether they're true or not, whether they truly happened, well, that's between whatever happened and the client in which he documented these cases from. So they know the truth, but he is there to do his job and document and disseminate that information and let the evidence speak for itself. And that's what I truly admire about Stan. He does a fantastic job with this book. Again, it's a small book, but it's it's chock full. Great information. And I shared in the chat room, I shared the Amazon link, but you could also get this through his personal website. Now, it's a little bit more expensive. Yes, I get it. But like me, you can have a personalized signed book from Stan Gordon. Highly recommend that through his stangordon.info website, stangordon.info. You can buy his books, buy stuff tab. There, Astonishing Encounters, Pennsylvania's Unknown Creatures, Casebook 3, where he opens up his research files and shares some of his cases of encounters with strange beings and creatures that aren't supposed to exist. Great book and great information. It was actually a really good page turner. I had started reading this, and then I read about four or five other books in the interim. I just picked this up back in April, and it's been in my, I have a large pile of books that I slowly read through, and then I get distracted by other books or books that I want to talk about for the book of the week, and I'll read them again. So this slowly made its way to the top of the pile, and I was excited because I've been looking forward to reading this book, because his stuff is, it's almost like you're sitting at a campfire and you're having a conversation with him. It just reads that nice. It's really like he's just telling you the story. I hear his voice in my head, which I guess when you hear somebody's voice in your head, that's a good sign. So it's almost like he's telling me the story. It's that good. But if you've never heard him speak, well, maybe you need to hear him speak and buy the book. He'll be there at the Kecksburg UFO Festival, and you can buy it from him. Buy one of my books too. I'd appreciate that. It'd be great. Great guy, great speaker, full of knowledge, and a great researcher. Stan Gordon's Astonishing Encounters, Pennsylvania's Unknown Creatures, Casebook 3, the book of the week this week on July 26, 2016, episode 275. And if you're interested in that event, but maybe you don't live in Pittsburgh or the Pittsburgh area or Southwest Pennsylvania or even Ohio, anywhere. There are plenty of other events coming up throughout the United States. I only talk about the North American events. I don't really cover Mexico, though. Mexico is North America, but I don't really cover that too much, nor do I cover too many in Canada. I do if I hear about them, because I love Canada. Canada's great. Yeah. So you can check out paranewsinsider.com and click on the events tab at the top, and you can check out my list of ghost conferences, conventions, UFO conventions, and cryptozoology conventions, all separated in those categories. And whatever the major theme is kind of where I park it in this. And this is not an all-inclusive listing here. This is just what I've been able to put together and what great listeners like you have helped bring to this list. I've got a lot of people that have submitted shows, whether they were putting them on themselves or they've heard about them or they're going to go to them or they just want more information. So they send me the link. And I really appreciate that. And this list is, I guess it's a good relationship between what I do and the listeners out there that have helped provide this list, which I have to brag is probably one of the best that I've ever seen out there. Trust me, because I look for it because I'd like to steal shamelessly from it. But this is probably one of the best. Now, there's some good ones out there that are just ghosts or just UFOs or just cryptids. But this one brings them all together. And it goes all over the place. Rhode Island, Florida, Nevada, Missouri, Maine, Pennsylvania, Kansas, you name it. There's probably one happening in your region, in your state. Lots of ghost stuff left this year, happening from this weekend all the way through October. And the cool thing about this time of the year here in July, there's still going to be ones popping up for this fall. Now, obviously, the fall is huge. I've already got six in November or in October, and a couple popping up for November now with the third Ghost Excavation Conference coming up in November. So it's ever evolving. And the UFO listing is probably part of what it could be with all the MUFON events that go. And if you're interested in a MUFON event, your state probably has a convention. If it hasn't already had it, it's coming up. I guarantee you. Lots of those coming up. So check out MUFON.com and look for your state. Most states have a website. Not all states do. Or you can just check out the Paranormal News Insider website again and look for those. Lots of cryptid ones coming up as well. Dogman Symposium coming up, Virginia Bigfoot Conference, the International Bigfoot Conference, the Mothman Festival, Minerva Monster Day and Monster Movie Film Festival, the Alabat Witch Festival, the 15th Annual Texas Bigfoot Conference. My goodness, there's a lot of great stuff coming up in the cryptid field and the ghost field as well. And hopefully I can continue to add to this list. I just added another one and updated it just a couple of days ago. So keep them coming. I appreciate it. If you have any information about any event and would like to have it listed on the website, and I'll talk about it, just let me know. Email me at insider@paranewsinsider.com. Find me on Facebook, Twitter, wherever. I'm everywhere, all over the internet. It's kind of hard to miss me. And let me know about your event, and I'll do my best. I'll get it. I'll put it on there. And because I appreciate that. I think these events are good. They're good for people to learn from, good to network with people, great researchers and investigators, people like Stan Gordon, who frequent these kind of things, mainly in Pennsylvania, Ohio. But get to know these people. You'll learn a lot of stuff, I guarantee you. And it's good. It's good for paranormal unity. It gets people together. It gets people on common ground. We may not all agree on the same stuff, but we're all here together. We're all sharing this pursuit of belief, of just incredible stuff that's happening out here that's just mind-numbing at times. We're all on the bus together. So with that, again, big thanks to everybody listening live or via podcast, and always to Cindy, my producer, for all the hard work she does behind the scenes, and to Dita for corralling everybody in the chat room, as always, keeping everybody on their toes and doing the right thing. So anyway, Keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, you know it's coming. Don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.
You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.